B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Maz. We started off the show talking about how relevant is Tom Brady still to the Patriots story. I know some of you are sick of hearing about it, but he's still a relevant angle and piece to the Patriots and their rebuild. And whether that's a successful rebuild or not, is Brady a part of it? For the full reset, go back, listen to the podcast. I don't want to redo the whole segment. The 2 o'clock hour on the podcast, 98.5thesportshub.com. Or the app, you can catch the we replay everything there. So just if you want the full reset, go listen to that segment. But we'll pick that back up with your calls. A lot of you have been waiting patiently to talk about it. Here's Matt in Braintree. What do you got, Matt?
I bathe in Danny from Quincy and Bob in Easton's tears because, like Al from Everett said, you're 0-2 at this point. When are you going to admit you were wrong? Like when Brady wins like a third year in a row? And I just got to say, this is worse than Babe Ruth because the Red Sox did not know what Babe Ruth was ultimately going to turn into. You had Babe Ruth and Tom Brady, and you just spit on the guy and told him to leave.
I mean, it's kind of a fair point. The thing about...
Babe Ruth was 25 when they let him go. Like, you know, that's a lot of years of suffering.
No, he's saying Babe Ruth wasn't quite Babe Ruth when you traded him.
No, I understand that, but you ended up paying for that one for 10 or 15 years.
Sure. No, for longer, but his
more
point was...
More an unknown commodity.
Yeah, more an unknown commodity than what Brady was.
I gotcha.
But this is like, there's only a few instances where you can legitimately compare someone from 1918 to 2018. You know, 100 years, but I still think that's the kind of move you made.
Oh, yeah. No, this is up there.
Okay, but I don't think it's relevant because of that thing he's talking about, the argument, the Brady Belichick argument, and admit you're wrong and bleh, like that. That to me is, I mean, that's fun and it's relevant for the talk show. I'm talking about relevancy for the Patriots rebuild. Mm-hmm. It's still relevant to me because you had two paths. You could have rebuilt your roster around Tom Brady. All you had to do was pay him. And yes, he was unhappy with what he was surrounded by, but he still asked for a contract. At the very last, he was still willing to take a contract to come back here, and you didn't want to pay him. So you chose to build around a new quarterback, to push him out the door and bring in new quarterbacks to build around, and you could have built around him. Was it the right thing or the wrong thing? We're still trying to determine it, and that's why it is relevant.
And just quickly, too, part of the spin, too, which has really been going on now two straight years, is when Brady went to a team that was ready to win, they were stacked. Let's not forget, Brady really didn't want to go to the Bucs. His choices were what? The Bears? Well, the Patriots for one. I think he would have rather stay here, got a real contract. The Bears, the Chargers. He only went to Tampa because that was like the only real option. They were the NFC Jets, and he turned them around. And you can't use that either.
And it's only half the equation because the other half of the equation is what have you been? And they were 7-9 last year, and this year was better, but they got obliterated in the postseason.
Maz, let me tell you, you said earlier they weren't winning the Super Bowl here the last couple of years that Brady had stayed. This year? Now that I think of it, I'm not willing to concede that this year.
That's a fair point.
You were 9-4 and the number one seed. Remember, the doors ajar in the AFC this year. It's not a strong year. What was, did Casey go 12-5?
I think that's right.
And no, they also went, I think, 11-5. Everyone was 11-5.
Oh, no, 11-12.
Yeah, 12, right, sorry.
So Tennessee was the one seed at either 11-6 or 12-5, whatever it was. That's not a great record, and I'm with Paul. They're not a great team. So if you're telling me you could get to 9-4 and the number one seed with a rookie quarterback, you couldn't be one game better with Tom Brady? And then instead of going, you know, losing 3 or 4 down the stretch, just go 2-2 and keep the number one seed? You're a Super Bowl favorite as the number one seed.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm not conceding that with this team this year with Tom Brady.
I mean, out of this conference, yes. Out of the other conference, I like the other teams better.
But you could have been a Super Bowl team this year. Alex in Newmarket. Go ahead, Alex.
It's definitely still irrelevant. I mean, to answer Bob and Easton's question, if you pay Brady the $25 million, you can't pay Nelson Aguilar, who was a bum in Philly, and now he's a bum in New England. But my question is, how much do you guys think Brady playing in Florida has to do with him elongating his career? Because I think if he plays maybe 2 sub-zero games in Buffalo, maybe he doesn't look quite as good as he has this year.
Yeah, no, he's put up better numbers because of the weather and the conditions down there, for sure. I don't really care about that. I care about would he be winning at a high level. And I think he would have been winning at a high level with the Patriots. Certainly this year, and when you define high level the year before, you make the playoffs with him.
I mean, look, the tougher the circumstances get on that guy, the better he plays. So at least relative to the competition. So you want to tell me that, you know, longevity-wise or that certainly production-wise, the numbers weren't going to be as good as they were in Buffalo? Fine. He'll still win the freaking game.
Joey and Kingston, go.
Hey, you know what's sad, guys? Brady is setting the bar with records that in all likelihood will never be reached. History's being made in real time, and it's being done in another uniform, and it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, so again, that's the emotional part to it that is not as relevant to me.
Yeah, right. This is about what the Patriots have done on the field and where they're going.
What's relevant to me is you chose to move on at the most important position on your team in the middle of what it was a rebuild. So you could have rebuilt around Brady, or you could have rebuilt around what they've done, which is Cam Newton, then go into the draft and take the fifth quarterback out of five guys taken in the first round, who feels like a nice player, feels like the step in the right direction, feels like you're onto something there. But I think that's still an open question whether Mac Jones is the guy. And it's an open question to me whether Bill still has enough of his fastball at 70 years old to rebuild the team properly and now coach it properly when we see all the coaching problems this year, to say that you're going to land on your feet ultimately. I don't know if you are. If Brady were here, he's going to make up for some of those questions that we have, your defense or the coaching or whatever. He's going to make up for that. We've seen that. And we saw all great quarterbacks do that. And he's still capable of doing it, in my opinion. Frank in Marshfield on the Pats. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, yeah, I want to talk about the defense. So knowing what you know about Bill Belichick's defensive scheme, stay in your gap and play your lane and all that, if they drafted a guy like Micah Parsons, would he be as dominant year one? Like, he was dominant this year, running amok and getting after the quarterback.
No, it's a good question.
No.
No, they wouldn't turn him loose.
No.
Gap control.
Right.
Do your job. The motto down there is do your job. And not that I want to model myself off of Dallas, which I really don't, but a place like that says go make a play. So there's a happy medium in there somewhere where obviously in Dallas they could certainly be doing their job a little bit more than going making a play. Bunch of idiots all around from top to bottom. Bunch of morons in Dallas. But, you know, they do turn those guys loose to make plays. Here it's sort of too much of the other thing.
Yes, right. Again, like, you know, danger crossing sports. But look at Patrice Bergeron under Bruce Cassidy versus Claude Julien. He gets let loose a little bit more, and all of a sudden he's playing offense, and now he can score. So you're getting more of the talent that comes out. You restrict him too much, you don't. Bill's system is very restrictive.
So there's a question there. Like, again, one of the mock drafts today in The Athletic had the Patriots drafting Nakobe Dean, this stud linebacker from Georgia, who's just a freaking torpedo. He's a missile. But he's 6 feet, 225. So first of all, would Bill Belichick ever draft a guy, a linebacker, 6 feet, 225? I think he's never drafted a linebacker. I'm not talking about late round guys. I'm talking about the Hightowers, Mayos. He never drafted a guy lower than 245. Like, he wants his linebackers 6 feet, 3, 250 yeah. is what his linebackers are. Would he ever draft a guy 6 feet, 225? And then once he has gotten him here, a guy like Nakobe Jones goes sideline to sideline. He's not taking on guards in the hole. He's flying around that guy.
And making tackles.
But that's not what Bill wants. Bill wants gap control and build a wall and do your job. Don't make a play. So it's two things. It's, would he ever draft a guy like that? And then when he gets him here, how's he going to play him?
Yeah, in a conservative way.
Is he going to have him taken on guards in the A-gap?
No way.
Mike, going back to when
right. He won't use him the right way is all I meant.
Wait, yeah. Going back to when you were on the beat on that team, did he always downplay those other guys, those kind of guys? Like Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas was a stud. You see him twice a year, and he was 6 foot nothing, 5'11". Did he ever talk glowingly about Zach Thomas?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But, I don't know, is that because he was an opponent? Would he ever draft Zach Thomas? How big was Zach Thomas?
I think he was 6 foot nothing.
What does it say here?
5'11".
Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, look at all their linebackers. I mean, not that Bill. I mean, and you can put Parcells into this too, because Parcells did the same thing. Ted Johnson is a freaking horse. Like, he's massive to this day. It fills up the doorway when he walks in here. He's just massive.
His back is the size of a truck.
He really is a mountain of a
massive human being. You ever stand next to William McGinnis?
Yeah, he's gigantic.
I mean, he's a massive Adonis of a man. Vrabel was big. He's 6'4", 260 or 70 or something like this. And even Bruschi, who was on the underside of the undersides of these guys.
250.
6'1", 250. 250. Like, he's always, and Mayo, Hightower go down the line. Wants big linebackers that can take on blocks, hold up blockers, fill a gap, that sort of thing. He don't want the little guy running around blockers. No, you take that blocker on.
Yeah, how did that work for him this year?
So I'm just telling you, like, so if they drafted, if I don't know how he's going to be available in the first place, but if they drafted a N'Kobe Dean, that would tell me that Bill's lost control of his draft board. Meaning someone else is making the picks for him, which might not be a bad thing. Let's pick this up on the other side here on Felger and Mess.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the ultimate indictment against Bill Belichick. Tom Brady is doing what he did. And because of your greatness, you didn't want to look at this dude's greatness and say, you know what? Let's ride this wave and let me listen to this dude that I tutored. You see, because that's the unforgivable sin in all of this. Molly, if you're a boss, and Michael Irvin works for you and you nurture him and he grows under your tutelage, his success is your success. Why be threatened by that? Why want to sever those ties? They're an extension of you. Bill Belichick, in the end, didn't look at Tom Brady like that. And so when Tom Brady goes elsewhere at age 44 right now and still doing what he's done, it's been phenomenal. But ultimately, why I feel the way that I feel about Bill Belichick and the Patriots not winning is because look at your conference. Patrick Mahomes ain't leaving Kansas City. Josh Allen ain't leaving Buffalo. Mike Vrabel ain't leaving Tennessee. Justin Herbert ain't leaving the Los Angeles Chargers. And by the way, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase ain't leaving Cincinnati.
Just do the right thing, come back to New York.
So I'm just saying, when I look at the AFC, and then I look at Mac Jones, who I genuinely like and think has a lot of promise. I'm just looking at what I'm seeing around the rest of the conference, and I'm like, Mac Jones, as good as he can be, he ain't those dudes that I mentioned. It's too many in front of him.
You ever heard anyone put more drama behind the name Joe Burrow?
No.
But either way, I played that Stephen A. That was from Monday. And he's just basically asked to analyze the state of the Patriots following the loss to the Bills. Just generically, state of the Patriots following the loss to the Bills. He didn't talk about the defense. He didn't talk about the Patriots' whole defensive coordinator or whatever's going on there with the disconnect with the players and the coaches. He didn't mention or talk about the rookie quarterback. He mentioned Tom Brady. He brought up Tom Brady. So it's just an example of, to me, how Brady is still relevant. And I just think the specter of Brady and that decision's hanging over your head until he retires or you once again start legitimately competing for championships. It's going to be there because the first analysis is, why'd you let him go again? What was the point of that? If Brady sucked and was done or certainly retired, then that's an easy answer there. You would let him go because he was done.
No, the only way you can look at it right now is, oh my God, what'd you do, you idiots?
I mean, and that's what Stephen A. does. We say, well, we lose to the Bills. We look like that. Look at that quarterback. Look at the conference. And what I think about the Patriots, what I think is, why'd they let Brady go? When you had one of those guys? And you had, you know, just with one guy, you could still be in the conversation with all these teams. It's not guaranteed that you're going to win or anything, but you're still. And so that's where he goes. And I think he's not wrong to do it. And it's going to keep happening again, unless or until Brady retires or you get really, really good again. That's going to keep being brought up. So, yes, it is relevant. But back to your phones on this and everything else. Pat in Franklin. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, boys. I know Paul left, but props to both Paul and both of you on being very honest on your commentary about the fact that the roster construction and just general overall talent versus the Bills is just inferior. It's a landslide. You know, obviously the quarterback, but Tony, you're a stats guy. I love baseball. Of the last 20 top four draft picks on the Bills for the last 5 years, guess how many players are actively contributing a lot?
Just give
12.
It to us.
Higher.
Okay, what's the number?
It's 15. They have destroyed the draft in the last 5 years, and this is why the Patriots are hurting.
It is. It's something we've gone over a million times.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge reason.
I mean, it's probably number one on the list, but I feel like it's so self-evident that. Well,
here's where I land on that, Mike, and yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Okay? The other part of it is, okay, fine, Buffalo's done better at the draft. That's where Bill Belichick is supposed to be an equalizer.
Well, no, but where I land on it, Maz, is, well, that's why the Bills are better. How do you explain 12 straight scoring drives without forcing a punt?
Okay, again, ineptitude.
Well, that to me speaks to some bigger issues there that we find interesting, that, you know, the disconnect between the players and the coaches, or the lack of the buy-in, or whatever the F is going on there on defense between Steve Belichick and Mayo and the mixed messaging. And, you know, there's something that explains how badly they're getting beaten.
Yes, and also this is why I say Bill Belichick's supposed to be the equalizer. He's supposed to be able to take a player at number 25 that you get at number 10, and they come out the same.
Yeah.
Right? It's supposed to come out the same. Bill is supposed to be the equalizer. That is not happening anymore. It's not happening. They're not playing, and they're certainly not getting better during the course of the year.
Sam in the car. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys, I want to start by just thanking you guys for wishing Mumsy a happy 95th last night. You guys made her night.
Good.
So that's to Tony's point. You know, as time goes on, it just seems like that ship is sailing as far as Belichick making the big difference. I mean, he's got his kid in Mayo and all this chaos going. That all lands at his feet.
Sam, thanks for the call. It was glaring on Saturday. Gasper wrote this, but it's true. Like, anyone who gave the Patriots a shot in that game or picked the Patriots in that game said Bill will have something.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills will crap themselves because they won't be as prepared as Belichick and the Patriots, and Belichick will come up with something.
That's what I felt.
And it was just the opposite.
Yeah.
It was just the opposite. The Patriots got blown out because, in part, their players had tuned out the coaching and not bought into the program. Like, that's sort of scary. It was the exact opposite of what you had thought.
Terrifying. Mike, they can't stop the run. They can't stop the run. Some hack with Miami, Duke Johnson, had a career high, career best against them. And the only other team he's ever run for over 100 yards against was the Jets a couple of weeks earlier.
That was him and Philip Lindsay, two guys I didn't even know were in the league anymore.
I mean, we're talking about hack players. They can't stop the run. If you can't stop the run, forget it. Go home. Don't even show up.
Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Let me suck up a little bit. This is the best programming in sports radio, and I know it goes beyond you three pretty faces. Maz made a great point, I think, on Belichick's excuse-making. It was in that discussion after the game, or since then in his conferences. Think about it. After the Dallas game, he got credit for the turnaround on the defense, and he should, and the disaster since. Now, however, give him a perfect out. And please don't give me the business that he wouldn't put his son under the bus. His pride of ownership controls everything, and he's going to make an excuse for it. I really believe it. I do.
Okay, well, no. I mean, we agree that Bill may have been blaming the injuries there. You said we just couldn't keep up. Was that an allusion to the fact that we just didn't have the horses because our guys are COVID protocol or banged up or whatever? But I don't think there's any shot of Belichick throwing his kid under the bus.
Me neither.
Meaning, like, you know, there's calls for people saying, yeah, bring back Brian Flores, bring in, you said Mike Zimmer, bring in a real defensive coordinator, turn the defense over to a real guy, get a clear voice in there, a strong leader, da-da-da. Like, Bill's going to hire someone to demote his son? No shot. No shot. I don't see that happening. No way.
So the only reason I brought it up and it popped into my mind, first of all, because I know they like each other. Bill likes Zimmer. Always has respected Zimmer. Zimmer's is a Parcells tree guy, right? He's from the Parcells tree. The other thing is I heard Zolak and Bertrand say yesterday that Bill did hire Greg Schiano to come in and be his defensive coordinator at one point, right?
Do you know why he did that?
Because his son let, I mean, because he let Belichick's son on the staff.
And I think he was free.
Okay.
I think Rutgers, or no, who was paying his salary? Tampa?
Yeah. Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah.
But again, Zimmer would be free, right? Didn't Zimmer?
Okay, well, that's a fair point.
Okay, so Zimmer would be free. Someone's paying him. Flores would be free. So as long as it's someone that Bill trusts, could he then have his son work with him, right? That's sort of my logic.
Yeah, okay.
So, but that aside, forget it. Because at the end of the day, I think you brought up a better point yesterday, which is Bill's whole thing is defense. His whole thing, Bill Belichick as prodigy, Bill Belichick as genius, came from running defense. He's going to give that to someone else that he can't, you know what I mean, that has status? No way. So this is, after you said that yesterday, I thought, well, that makes perfect sense. I think the more likely scenario is Mayo leaves, gets another job. They don't bring McCourty back. They don't bring Hightower back. They don't bring back the Mayo guys. He brings Patricia back out and says, just keep my son next to you, but you're running the defense.
Oh, that's repulsive.
Effectively, Patricia's another son anyway.
Oh, my God. He is.
I'm not joking.
No. He's in the family. He's in the warm bosom of Bill Belichick. No doubt about it.
So he could also pass that off to Steven and say, hey, listen, Matt's going to come back. You're not there yet. Okay? You're heading there, but you're not there yet. Work with Matt for a couple years where we'll see where we are. Like, I could see him justifying that to his son, but he's not going to fire him.
Okay, we've got an update from Big Jim Murray, and then we'll wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls and emails. I recommend you go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Bye.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wrap it up with your phone calls and emails. Bobby in Dorchester, what do you got?
Listen, how could you keep Tom Brady and the roster that you have? You couldn't do it. You either one or the other. Two, Wack Jones is a bum. Get over it.
All right, you're wrong on one. Two might be right. I don't know. I like him, but
it's premature.
Premature. We don't know what Mac Jones is. No, the money. So look, what did you have to spend in free agency last year? You spent $160 million guaranteed, right? If you gave Brady 25, again, they offered him like 10 or 14 or something like that. They offered him a low ball offer. So I'm sorry, Jimmy, what did they offer him?
I believe it was 14.
So they offered him 14. He wanted 25. He wanted the Drew Brees contract. Has wanted the Drew Brees contract for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he's taking in Tampa. That's it. 25 a year. Very reasonable ask by Tom Brady, by the way.
14 for that guy.
Wow. It really is. It's embarrassing.
Okay, so anyway, so you're talking about the difference of $10 million. So you signed 8 free agents, 10 free agents. You would have had to sign 9. You would have lost one of the free agents that you signed. If you had signed Tom Brady, if you just go by the same budget. Now, the cap I could make work. I could sign every player you just signed. And Tom Brady, if you give me a cocktail napkin against the cap, I'll do it for you in 2 minutes. But the real money's more important. If there was a budget for Robert Kraft to spend, Tom Brady would have cost you one, maybe two players that you signed in free agency. So instead of getting Hunter Henry and Janu Smith, maybe you would have just signed Janu Smith. Now, that would have porked you, but maybe you would have just signed Hunter Henry and not Janu Smith. Whatever. Who knows how that would have worked out. Instead of getting both Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, maybe you just would have gotten one of the two. So I will concede you would not have been able to sign every single player that you signed without Tom Brady's salary on the books. but you'd be able to sign most of them. You'd be able to sign the vast, vast majority of them. Maybe not one or two, but that's it.
Definitely.
So you tell me, would you rather have Mac Jones, Hunter Henry, and Janu Smith, or Tom Brady and Hunter Henry?
Brady and Hunter Henry.
I mean, it's like...
Yeah, do a better assessment on some of the money that you spend and some of these guys that turned out to be stiffs. How about on the other side of the ball, too? Like Devon Godchow, like useless. You know, so you don't spend some of that money on bums. Give it to Brady, you're better off.
And Mike, that does not preclude you from taking a quarterback in the draft to put under Brady and develop him.
Still could have signed Davis Mills. Who knows? Maybe Mac Jones would have been available to you with a small trade-up if you were that horned up for him. You could draft someone this year. You could draft someone 2 years ago. You still could have drafted a guy.
Tampa Bay did.
Thank you.
They just took Kyle Trask. They did the same thing. They signed Brady and drafted Kyle Trask. Now, can he play? I don't know. We don't know if Jones is the real thing yet either, though. Again, I like Jones. I like him. But the fact is, the road they picked, they could have had way more than what they have now.
Don't get duped into the money thing. That's a team excuse, and it's all that is. They didn't want to give him the contract. They didn't think he was going to be performing like this at this stage of his career. That's what happened. Steve in Fort Lauderdale. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Two things. First, if Brady retires sooner, I think it's just the opposite. He becomes folklore, and Belichick is screwed for life.
No.
The second thing is, why are the Patriots not receiving the ball to start when they win the kickoff if they're having such a hard time playing from behind? It just baffles me in the end of the season.
People are aggravated they deferred this kickoff, but, like, what's it really matter?
Okay, but I do understand the general point, which is you're playing from behind all the time, and by deferring the kick, is there any benefit when you don't have a quarterback that can control the game the way Tom Brady did?
No.
So take the ball, try to get ahead. Especially after three or four times where you fall behind all the time. Can you at least try it once and see what happens?
The first thing about if Brady retired, it would be four. I just disagree. I think if Brady had retired or sucked, you're off the hook. It's if Brady retired or couldn't play, then the analysis is, well, you got out. He's not hurting you because he wouldn't be able to help you now because he can't play anymore.
And I'm sure then he'd be relevant to the likes of Bob and Easton and Danny and Quincy too.
Yes, then you would be here. Then you'd be hearing about that. Of course, what makes it relevant is that Brady can still play at the highest of levels and win at the highest of levels.
What if he retired now, though?
I think you didn't want him.
I think that's what his point was. If Brady retires now, is it over?
It'll be more over than it is now. I mean, as long as Brady's playing and still in playoff weekends where you're not there, it's right in your face.
Right. Does Bill recover, though, if he wins after Brady's gone?
It's got to be soon after Brady's gone. It's got to be within the next couple of years for me. Because, again, then you just play it out. You could have kept Brady. And that, I mean, if you're winning in the year 2030, well, you could have kept Brady and still won in the year 2030. You know what I mean?
Sure, of course.
Yeah. He's got to win. He's got to win, you know, in and around Brady's playing career.
What a bloodbath this has been. Brady is absolutely pummeling them.
Steve in the car, go.
Yeah, I'm calling about the Tom Brady situation. I think the Patriots didn't realize how good Brady was. I mean, I watched him play in college. He played behind Greasy, and he didn't get to start much. But every time he got in the game, Steve, I said, this kid's pretty good.
Okay, man. Where were you during the Felgram-Mass big board in 2000?
Yeah.
Like, listen, we're going to go back to the Michigan analysis. No one knew how good he was coming out of Michigan. No one. No one. Not even them. The Pats got lucky. So, come on. Let's not do that.
Oh, so that's the guy who knew.
The personnel now, I'm more, you know, interested way more in the analysis of him 2 years ago. What he still had left in the tank, and was he worth $25 million a year? They determined no. How's that working out for you? I mean, that's why it's still relevant.
I mean, look, I thought they made the right decision. I thought they did.
Me too.
And this was at the time. And I also think a big part of it is they just haven't gotten there yet with their own guy. You know, Newton was a huge mistake. What a freaking mistake that was. And then now with this kid, we don't know yet. So, like, if this kid pans out, they'll be okay. They'll come out of it okay. But, man, what if he can't play?
Yeah, we don't know yet. Adrian in New Jersey. Go ahead, Adrian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good, Adrian. Go ahead.
You. All right, listen. Forget about... It's all under the bridge. Brady left. We know why he left. He wasn't getting along with Bill for some reason. Bill kind of felt like he doesn't have anything left in the tank. But the truth is that with $163 million that they spend in free agency, the only ones that are serviceable is Jude Dunn in the defense and Hunter Harney in the offense. And when he came down to spotlights with the clutch, they kind of faded away when they play again good defense and good offense.
Okay, so you're saying even the free agent spending wasn't worth it.
They hit on Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was. And not obviously they had some busts in there. Aguilar and Janu Smith. I mean, Janu Smith, what a freaking joke. But I don't know, to come home with a legit good receiver in Kendrick Bourne, a good legit Judon, a defensive end and you know pass rusher Judon. I know he faded bad, but
good player.
Good player. You know, so to come on with, you know, one of those on each side of the ball and Hunter Henry, a good receiving tight end, like, I think they did pretty well.
Yeah, they did.
I think the expenditures were worth it.
They came out of it fine in free agency. Could have been a hell of a lot worse. Could have been great. It wasn't great, but it was pretty good.
Dan and Carver. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Steve Belichick. I mean, I know he's Belichick's son, but ultimately, isn't he an employee of Kraft? And if you're Bob and Jonathan Kraft, I mean, what kind of message does that send to everyone in that organization if you don't hold that kid accountable after the last 2 years?
Did you hear what you just said, though, Dan? Did you hear what you just said? If you're Bob or John Kraft, like, are the Krafts in a position to say, hey, let's not give favorable treatment to the kids now? This is all based on merit. When John Kraft, who, again, is a smart cookie, I'm not telling you some bum, but are they in any position to say, you know, we're not really into this nepotism thing here, Bill?
I mean, come on, it's the guy's kid, and if Jonathan Kraft was, like, busted in Mohegan Sun in a like, hotel with, like, cocaine and hookers, I'm sure there'd be some repercussions, right? I mean, at least make the kid get a haircut. You can't suck that bad and have a mullet.
I think you're getting close to home. But... No, seriously, like the whole, and the Krafts are all, I'm looking at any masthead in any team in the league. It's all the kids. It's the family everywhere.
Look at the Vikings. It's the Wilf Hunters. It's just one Wilf after another.
Any team. It's all the same.
It's the Wilf Hunters.
It's all the freaking
very good, Murray.
Family. I don't even get it, but it's a, whatever.
It's a porn reference. Yeah.
Oh. It's the Wilfs that own the Vikings.
The Milf Hunters. Yeah, the Milf Hunters.
That's a porn thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, people who hunt MILFs. Not that you can blame them.
It's not some new Netflix show that you guys are watching or something.
No.
I feel like you would be one of those hunters, too.
Oh, I love the MILF porn. That's where I go. I just didn't know there
you
was a...
to stay in my age group.
There was an actual... I know I do the MILF thing.
So just quickly on the Jonathan Kraft thing.
Where was I? Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so this is where I think Bill is a little bit of a hypocrite. So I'm sure Bill looks at Jonathan and says, oh, the owner's son is here. Here we go, rolling his eyes. Like, I can see Bill doing that. Yet he'll have his son running the defense and not be aware of the fact that the players are looking at his son the same way.
Yeah.
You're completely oblivious to that, especially when a guy like Gerard Mayo's in there. And the part that confuses me is Bill loved Mayo. Bill absolutely loved Gerard Mayo. But now all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, what? Because Mayo became a competitor to his son, that Mayo then didn't get TV time on the sidelines during the week, but his son did, and there became this little rift or some sort of issue in the locker room.
Well, it's probably human nature. You become protective for your kid, right?
But Bill should have seen it coming is my point. He should have known better. You can't create that type of dynamic with your son calling the defense with a former player who played with the guys who were still in the room. I mean, that's just dumb. That's Bill's fault.
Let's do an email, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the Mindcast email of the day.
Yeah.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Gotta spell it out for you, Felga.
And I think Maz is a boob.
The Mindcast email of the day. Send one to Felga at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Email it is protected, as always, by Mimecast, M-I-M-E, M as in Michael, Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware by visiting Mimecast.com. I like when I get these emails because it means we still get new listeners all the time, and I get this all the time. And so I just want to, you know, set the record straight, because also, I think our show does a good job of not doing inside jokes. Okay, I'm a big I'm a big anti-inside joke guy, like a joke that only we get that the audience doesn't get. I hate that. I find that frustrating as a listener. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know. As when I'm listening to it, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you laughing at? I don't get it. Like, so, like, I like doing shows that, you know, like I always say, Maz, let's do a segment as if the guy just got off the spaceship from Mars.
That's how they used to teach you to write newspaper stories. Guys should read it for the first time and know what's going on.
Exactly.
Yep.
So no inside jokes. But every once in a while, we will refer to the Palace Q, which is an inside joke. And so I regrettably sometime lapse into it. The Palace Q. There's a Palace Q in Foxborough. And every time I do that, I get emails like this. Subject line, Palace Coup. Felger, please. The phrase is Palace Coup, pronounced C-O-O, she writes. Not Palace Q, pronounced C-U-E, as you keep saying. A Q is a line, while a coup is an overthrow of the person in power. Thank you, Cheryl in Haverhill, parentheses, longtime listener.
Yeah, it's like a mutiny. It's a coup. Yeah.
Not that long time, Cheryl, because, again, we refer to it as a palace coup because our good buddy Matt in Framingham once said,
a mutiny, a coup, a patriot, a coup.
It's too good to let that one go.
That is one of the great drops on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a palace coup.
Yeah, it's a mutiny.
A mutiny, a coup, a patriot, a coup.
That was like, whatever, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever this was. The Palace Q. So we refer to it as the Palace Q. It's an inside joke. I'm sorry for it, but there's the explanation.
A mutiny, a Q, a patriot, a coup.
There you go. Yeah,
they were playing pool.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody. Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Nope.
All right, a couple of things to get to here in the final word today. In discussing the Patriots' now uncertain future, went through Mel Kiper's first mock draft of 2022 behind the ESPN paywall. And with that comes new names for Mike Felger to butcher.
Oh, God. Mel Kiper, ESPN, has the Patriots at number 21 taking... Jameson, how do you pronounce that first name?
Jameson Williams.
Why am I such a moron? Why can't I even pronounce Jameson?
I don't know.
This is another hallmark of our pre-draft talk. I can't pronounce any name. Never mind, even the easy ones.
Your intelligence sometimes is paradoxical in nature.
Definitely. I'm a borderline moron.
What was the one on TV last night?
Oh, the one I...
corrected yourself, but when you said it, I was like, my God, no.
Who's the guard from Detroit?
Oh,
It's Jeremy Grant.
Yeah,
I said
Jeremy or something.
Jameer Grant or something. It's just not even close. So, like, there's something. All the synapses don't fire. They don't. Okay. My logic is generally at least average.
Oh, yeah. No. Quite good, actually.
The rest of it? Oh, my God.
It's just weird, the stuff that you mess up.
Jameson Williams. Well, I don't know why. Jameson Williams, the receiver from Alabama, stud, tore his ACL in the national championship game against Georgia. That's who Kiper has going to New England because he's probably going to drop because of the ACL.
Yeah.
Do you want Bill drafting a wide receiver?
No. I don't want a receiver. They just spend a ton of money on receivers. Get a receiver in the third round. Figure something out if you want another receiver. Or sign one. I don't want a receiver in the first round. Well, their defense blows.
Never mind someone named Jameson. Yeah. Whatever the hell that is.
Jameson. It's one thing if you're going to butcher someone, like one of my favorites. It's one of the best things about doing the throwing the markers, the names. You're like, Albert Akuebunum? So, all right, and that guy's become a good tight end for Denver. You butcher a name like that you understand. Jameson. You haven't seen the bottle of booze? Like
Joe Juwan was pretty bad. Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be self-explanatory, but it was a little tricky. I'll give you that. It's just bizarre because you're really detail-oriented.
I'm just not smart.
On some stuff.
Yeah.
But like names, it's like, wow. What's the difference?
It is. It's a blind spot. Is that it?
No, it wasn't just names that got butchered today. Old-timey sayings did, too.
Like, I feel like divisional round is where you separate the wheat from the chaff, or whatever that expression is. Wheat from the what?
I have no idea.
Okay, but that thing. The
chafe, I believe.
The bleep from the shinola, whatever. Like, the final eight, the top third of the league, divisional weekend, like, that's it.
Yeah, the cream rises.
Yeah, you're just sort of like, these are the real teams. It is wheat from the chaff.
Chaff. It's wheat, not chafe, okay.
Wheat from the chaff.
What's that mean?
The phrase, separate the wheat from the chaff, I just looked it up, is a biblical expression that means a judge will choose the good people and discard the bad people.
So the wheat, the good people, the chaff, the dirt bags.
Is it like when you take a piece of wheat and you sort of
husk
like
it or whatever?
And you sort of like shuck it?
Oh,
like,
maybe. So like us getting rid of Perillo at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, separating the wheat from the chaff. Anyway, okay, we're done. That's going to conclude this portion of the program. We have Celtics tonight, so abbreviated Jones program.
Yeah.
So he'll come your way right now, and then we're back at it tomorrow at 2, and we'll come up with something. I know that. See you guys then.
See Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.